Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Road to the Triple Crown 2017 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Jim Mulvihill. Please go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Vicki. Welcome, everyone, to our Kentucky Derby preview. This is annually one of our more popular calls, so we're going to keep introductions short today and leave as much time as possible for everyone's questions. But as a quick reminder, this is our fourth call of the past month, and just so everyone knows, transcripts and audio files of all of those calls are at ntra.com. This is important because plenty of what was discussed on those calls remains relevant, and if you need info on any of the Derby horses, you should feel free to go back and reference those. We've had the trainers of basically the entire field represented in these four calls this month. So later on, we're going to get to talk to Joe Sharp, trainer of the Louisiana Derby winner and the leading Derby points getter, Gervin, and then John Sheriffs, the trainer of the Santa Anita Derby winner, Gormley. But first, we're delighted to welcome in a frequent guest on these teleconferences, and that is Dale Romans, trainer of the Gotham Stakes winner, J. Boy's Echo. He was fourth last time out in the Bluegrass despite a troubled start, and we're going to learn more about his preparations for the Derby right now. Dale, it's Jim Mulvihill. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. It always means something's good going on if you all want to talk.
Absolutely, and we're always happy to. We'll get to the horse in a second, but first, I'm sure everyone wants to hear about your rider situation. Robbie Alvarado, of course, sidelined a couple days ago. There are some great jocks out there without commitments. Can you just give us an update on your thoughts on a rider?
Well, yeah, we've decided not to rush anything, of course. There's, like you said, there's a lot of good riders out there. And really kind of waiting to hear from Robbie, get his input on, because he's ridden him so many times, on what kind of rider he thinks would fit him the best. And I don't want to put him on the spot because I know everybody, all the riders are friends of his. And talk a little more to Jason Luch. And I'd say by the end of the day tomorrow, we'll have something figured out.
That's interesting about, you know, a particular rider that would fit the horse. What is it about his style or a jockey's particular strengths that you think would fit J. Boy's Echo?
Well, I'd like to see some, with all the ones that are available, there's some great jockeys that are either Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers, so they're going to have the characteristics we're looking for. But I want somebody who's can finish strong somebody and see what Robbie thinks, what he thinks is the best style of jockey to have. I think that he's more than a finesse jockey, though I think we would like to have a good, strong finisher.
Makes sense. Very good. Well, J. Boy's Echo worked on Sunday. You called it a solid move, 5/8 and 102-1. Just tell us more about your impressions of that move and Tammy's as well, I guess.
Well, we both feel like he did his thing and did what we wanted to do. He's going to, if you look at the 4-week span, he's going to have 2 races and 3 works. So it's not like he has to go real fast to do anything. He's plenty fit. We're just trying to keep him sharp. And, if he went by himself, went around there 102, that's about all he ever does in the mornings. He's not a big workhorse unless he has company. And she said he felt good, and when he came back to the barn, he was already cooled out. I mean, he couldn't blow out a match.
All right, very good. Good sign. Well, I'm going to step aside, and we'll let our operator, Vicki, see what the media has for you now.
All right, thanks.
Press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question from Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Big Dale, how's it going, man?
Good, Danny.
Talk for a second about, we're just trying to find us a Derby horse here. I think you already got you one. I'm trying to see who my Derby horse is going to be. When we talk about J. Boy's Echo, talk about the involvement of Tammy and how important she's been with his development.
She's been important to any good horse I've had, of course. You know, we've been together since the beginning of my career, so every big horse I've had, it's important to have someone like her on her back that can give me good feedback. And J-Boy, though, has been more of a special project. She doesn't only work him, she gouts him every day and has ever since he came in. And he was not the most mature horse when we got him. You know, he would do a lot of things wrong, had a lot of natural talent. and she kind of got him focused and doing things the right way. Done a really good job with this horse.
When you look back at the Bluegrass Stakes, which was his last race, I know that you didn't win, but did you get something out of that race, you feel like, for this horse?
Yeah, it was a strange run race. I think that's all, you know, he got a race over the trip. He got a good race in, which we needed, and he was finishing up. He ran hard, but they went so slow early and came home so fast, it was going to be hard to make up any ground on that racetrack.
When you look at a few of the Derby contenders, let's talk about one of your past horses that I'm sure Tang was involved with. Shackelford, he's got some horses that are running now as three-year-olds. Meantime was one that looked good at the Keeneland the other day. Does that make you feel good to know that your horse Shackelford is doing his job in the stud barn now, Dale?
Well, yeah, you like to watch your past horses and see how their offspring do. I mean, it's been good to watch First Dude and Shackelford and Patty El Prado and Kids Joy, all of them, how their babies do. It's fun to produce good stallions and get to watch their foals as they're like grandkids to you.
Dale, I appreciate your time. Man, you know I wish you the best of luck. I'm going to come by the barn and see you on opening night this Saturday, okay?
Thanks, Danny. Yep. See you then.
All right, see you, Dale.
All right.
Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll go next to Ron Flatter with VSIN.
Hi, Dale. I want to go back to the Bluegrass again also. Do you think, how much was the start a problem for J-Boy Zecco, and how much do you think that took him out of the race?
Well, I think it was a pretty big problem because we were hoping that to lay a little bit closer in the race because the track had been playing for speed and it didn't look like there was a lot of speed in the race, and that's kind of the way it's set up and materialized. And then he got bumped. You know, if he breaks clean and he's up a little closer, all the other stuff in the race of getting bumped around and stepped on doesn't happen. And he came back, his eye was swollen up the next day. He got hit in the eye with something, and it just was the whole race went wrong. And everything starts with the brakes.
Well, then, to that end, I mean, how much did the eye problem affect him as the race wore on, how bad was that?
You never know. It wasn't that bad. It went down the next day, but it looked like he went a few rounds with Mike Tyson the next morning. The day right after the race, there was not a problem, but he obviously got hit in the eye with something. It wasn't actually the eyeball that was affected. It was just he got hit in the face with something, and that had to affect him.
Draw a line through this then?
I think so. I think just draw a line through it and see if we get an effort like we did in the Gotham for this race.
Okay. Thanks, Dale. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We'll go next to Art Wilson with Los Angeles Daily News.
Dale, the last 3 years we've had kind of a consensus favorite heading into the Derby, and this year has been kind of people are more all over the map with, you know, their picks and their choices, whether it be because of upsets or injuries or what have you. What's your thought on the whole thing so far going into the Derby? What have you looked at and what have you seen?
I think it's as wide open as we've seen in a long time. I think you're going to have you've got some big odds on whoever the favorite is, whoever it ends up being. I think that you've got, you know, some McCracken, I think. I think you got Always Dreaming, of course, Classic Empire. Those are going to take a lot of the play. And everybody else, I mean, it could be any horse win this race. And you could figure out in their form some place that the win came from.
And
I don't think this really means it's a bad group of horses. I think it's an even group of horses.
Right. And your horse, J-Boy Zecco, what is it about him that makes you think that he could win the Derby?
The fact that I think a mile and a quarter will help him. He's been he's had some rough trips and races and overcome. And, if he gets a fast pace, he'll be running at the end, and that's what you want to see in the Kentucky Derby.
Okay, great. Best of luck to you, Dale.
Thank you.
Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll go next to Jenny Rees with Wave 3.
Hey, Dale, you're a competent guy by nature. When you win the race like you did the Gotham, obviously you came into the Bluegrass extremely competent. When you, even with excuses and stuff, when you have a race that you're putting a line through, as you said, with the Bluegrass, can you have the same sort of confidence going into the next one, or is it the Derby you can't have complete confidence?
This will be my eighth try at the Derby, and so I can't have complete confidence. This is the best of the best, and to win it would be such an overwhelming thing. It's hard to go into it with a lot of confidence. But yeah, I was a little bit discouraged after the Bluegrass for the first 48 hours. But I watched the replay a few times. I see where we got in all the trouble. I know my horse is training good. He's very healthy, and I'm confident that he's going to run well.
Have you doped out, you know, the horses and, like, as far as who's got speed? I mean, do you think – there hasn't seemed to be as much of the sort of brilliant speed that we saw pre-point system in these derbies to spread out the field. But when you look around,
you mean
there's plenty of speed.
There's not the cheap speed that can't keep going.
Exactly. But it spreads the field.
Right. I don't know. It hasn't happened in the point system. I don't know if it's because of the point system, if there's some – you know, like, it'd be interesting to go back and look at what speed horses would have eliminated but with the new point system. But I think there's
Jimmy
some fast horses
won.
In this race. Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't have made the race. But there seems to be some fast horses in here to me.
Yeah, so you think, I mean, because, you know, he had a bad trip in a seven-horse field with, you know, no pace. But you think that, I mean, could field play
your
favorite if you get the...
I've had as many bad trips in short fields with and pace not materializing short fields as I have in big fields for some reason, it seems like.
Yeah. And also I want to ask you, you know, he's a wonderful horse, but he finished fourth in his last race, but he's probably got more ink than any horse coming off a fourth-place finish into the Derby. You've been really big on social media and going even before the Bluegrass. Can you sort of talk about the different things you're involved in and why that is important to you to do it? Or have people.
Well, I love horse racing, and I think a lot of people out there do, and there's so much more to it than the actual race. And I think with some of the social media we're trying to do, and you're helping us with, and the Kentucky Derby, or Kentucky HBPA is doing, and Kentucky Derby Kids is doing, is it pulls the curtain back and lets people see what goes on, how great the game is, and how fun it is to be on the backside, and what goes on in the mornings, so and what goes into getting the horse over there for 2 minutes. And this game, in my opinion, is tailor-made for the Internet. It's a very picturesque game, and there's a lot of stories and a lot to be told besides just running around the track for 2 minutes.
Yeah, wait,
so
when he finished fourth, did you have any
second?
Yeah, I was going to say, but when he finished fourth, did you have any second thoughts about maybe I really don't need this camera in my face?
No, it's fine. We talked the other day about you got to stand there for the bad if you're going to stand there and take credit or do anything in the good, and it's all a part of the game. And I just, the game as a whole, I like to see it more exposed. And I think people are liking what they're seeing. You might draw some more fans so
okay.
You can get them to the races betting horses.
Sounds good, Dale. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
We have no more questions in queue at this time, so I hand the call back over to Jim Mobile Hill.
All right, Dale, well just to wrap it up, I guess, and maybe tie some of this together, looking at the big picture for Jay Boys Echo, for some of the reasons that you mentioned, he's going to be a hard one for handicappers to get a handle on. He's not a flashy horse in the morning. His last race might be a total toss-out. So if he can run, say, his Gotham again, is that enough to win the Kentucky Derby? How do you size this up? Where does he really fit in all this?
I think he's a horse that you definitely don't want to leave out of your exotic wagers. And when you have one of those kind of things go right, they can get all the money. And he's a horse that's steadily improving. He's never run a bad race, and he just keeps getting a little bit better and better. He showed he's fast enough in the Gotham. I mean, he ran one of the biggest buyers, if not the biggest buyer of the field. And if we get back to that, he'll be right there.
Very good. That's the info we like to hear. Dale Romans, thanks for spending some time with us, and good luck with the rest of your Derby preparations.
No problem. Thanks, bud.
All right, Dale Roman's trainer of J-Boys Echo, who earned a 102 buyer for that Gotham, and Dale tells us not to leave him out of our exotics. With that, we're going to move on to our next guest, and that's going to be Joe Sharp. He's the trainer of the Risen Star and Louisiana Derby winner, Gervin. We had Joe on a few weeks back in advance of the Louisiana Derby, but now we get to find out where he's going or where he's at going into this Kentucky Derby, and there's a lot to talk about here, so let's see if Joe's on. Joe, it's Jim Mulvihill. Are you with us?
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the call. Just to bring everyone up to speed, trainers call audibles all the time, of course, but we all know that with these Derby horses, every move gets scrutinized. So yesterday you decided not to work at Keeneland as planned. You jogged instead. Just tell us what happened there.
Well, actually, I mean, they say we jogged. We went the wrong way, but, I mean, he actually loped most of the way. He was actually galloping the wrong way. We didn't want him to – we basically have decided to put in one stiff work about, you know, 7 to 8 days out, going either 3/4 or 5/8 Friday or Saturday, instead of trying to put in even two works. You know, he's a horse that's never missed a day, never missed a pattern. You know, but I kind of had a decision to make whether I wanted to try and squeeze in two works or have one solid work. And, you know, at this point, especially moving forward with, hopefully, you know, going on to the next race, seeing if the Preaknesses would fall into our hands, we'd want a, you know, a somewhat fresh horse and he's funny fit. So we just decided to have one solid work going into it. I talked to Mike Smith yesterday myself and kind of brought him up to date with it. But, you know, that's it. People will probably dissect and analyze the move. But, you know, if we win, I'll be a hero. If we lose, I'll be, a young trainer that made a mistake. So I'm confident in our decision. I'm doing the right thing by the horse. So that's all that matters.
And then overall, is it safe to say you're satisfied with where he's at right now? I mean, is he still the same Gervin that was the best 3-year-old in New Orleans this year?
Yeah, no, Gervin. I mean, he's solid. You know, he just, like I said, as many horses as we have, and, you know, they think that we don't blanket approach, and, you know, I know that horse like the back of my hand, and when I see that, I feel like I should alter things for benefit him, that's what we've done, and, you know, I have no regrets, even if the outcome isn't what we all want. I'm comfortable in the decision and the reason that we made it, and that's what we need at this point, so. He is the same Gervin, absolutely.
Very good. Glad to hear it. Well, we're going to check with Vicki and see what questions the media has for you.
To ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We'll go first to Art Wilson with Los Angeles News.
Yeah, Joe. Back in 2014, when you were making your decision whether to go out on your own when you were assistant with Mike Maker, you've got a pretty extensive background in horse racing. Was there anybody you leaned on most heavily for advice on that decision? Was there a determining factor, one certain factor that made you come to your final conclusion?
There were two people, and probably the main one was my wife, Rosie. You know, she was always has believed in, you know, my ability, and her support meant a lot. And then Mike Maker, who I respect, you know, to the moon and back, he was very supportive. And basically, when I brought it up, pushed me out of the nest in a good way. And with those two, obviously, key figures in racing behind me and telling me I was in the right decision, it was a no-brainer.
Right. And in checking back on your resume, you won with the very first horse you saddled. You won with 3 of the first 4 and 5 of the first 8. What were your thoughts back? I mean, did anything in your mind? Boy, this game ain't as tough as it looks.
No, it was great. I mean, it kind of was one of those, like, you wanted to pinch yourself, but at the same time, it was, you kind of get that, you know, you get that momentum, and you're like, you feel a little invincible, but with, with the success, we started to attract different kinds of owners, which are all good and we're grateful for, but it also, you know, limited the ability to just run them where you want and that's, and start having to, you know, run horses based on their pedigrees and based on their owners. And so our percentage lowered a little bit because obviously the initial percentage was absolutely ridiculous and unrealistic. But, you know, we were proud of our start. It's hard to do. I think that I was very aggressive from day one. I think that most people are afraid to lose horses when they start because they don't have many. And my approach was if I lose them and I win, I'll get more. And I think that's what made us successful right off the bat.
And how many do you have now, Joe?
Right around 70. We've only had about 10 two-year-olds come in so far. We usually expect about, you know, around 40 or so that usually come in every year. So our numbers will fluctuate, but our business has changed a lot. You know, we started out claiming a lot and have now since progressed to, you know, a lot of two-year-olds and three-year-olds, and we've had a phenomenal year with three-year-olds. And, you know, we still do it all, but, you know, we're definitely proud of our progression and the people that we've attracted.
Right, and you're 32, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and my final question about Gervin, what is it about, he's going to be your third grade one starter, what is it about him that makes you think he can win this Derby and give you your first grade one win?
I'm not saying that I think I'm going to win the Derby, but I definitely wouldn't trade places with anybody. I just like that he doesn't get his feelings hurt easily. He's ultra consistent and, you know, he's got the kind of running style that wins big races.
Okay. All right. Well, best of luck to you, Joe.
Thank you very much.
We'll go next to Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Talk for a second about Rosie as your exercise rider, and how much of a benefit is it that she's ridden the Derby. So you think that's been a benefit to help him prepare your horse?
I think the biggest benefit is the fact that I don't have to pay her.
There you go. All right, we like that.
No, I'm just kidding. She actually gets a very good salary and maternity leave. But, no, I mean, she's been great. I mean, honestly, because, you know, let's face it, you know, I would be lying to myself if I said that, you know, you can just throw your shoulders back and say, you know, you got this. It's to have the reassurance of the fact that I've never seen her this excited about any horse she's ever ridden. And just giving a shit day in and day out. She really cares about Gervin and really believes in him. And that, you know, means the world to me. So.
Mike Smith, I know that he rode, won the Double Dog Dare for you. You told me he was going to do that. You met with him. How did that go? And is him and Rosie kind of putting their heads together on this horse as well?
No, it was great. I mean, Rosie and I were, you know, undecided about it, you know, who to ride. And, you know, we had a couple of our Ad Ortiz was the other one that we were very wanted to ride and was going to. And honestly, at the end of the day, it just came down to the fact that statistically, I felt like a fool for not riding Mike when I had the option. And she and I talked about it, and that's what we went with. I mean, we would have been fine with either. You know, and like I said, I can't express enough that how comfortable we are with the deal with Ryan. And we knew going in, it wasn't that he picked a better horse than ours. It was just that he, you know, had loyalty, which we respect his loyalty as we would expect to have him to add to us if we were in the same situation. So.
Exactly. And when you get, crack at big money, Mike, you know, that's it. So anyway, I appreciate your time, and I certainly do wish you folks the best of luck.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Ron Flatter with DSAN.
Joe, is there any concern about the fact that Gervin has never raced anywhere but the fairgrounds?
No, not at all. I mean, honestly, like, you know, just like running him on the grass, get a horse can run on anything. You know, there's going to be a lot of horses in the Derby that I've never seen Churchill down. You know, he's
the one thing about him, why I'm not nervous, I'm not, everybody, you know, is kind of trying to almost make you feel anxiety or make you feel nervous, but I just have so much confidence in him as an individual that I know he'll go over and perform to the best of his ability. It doesn't mean I know I'm going to win the Derby. That would be, you know, foolish to say. But I do know that I have the utmost confidence that he will go over there and absolutely give his all, no matter what the circumstances. And that's something as a trainer you would, you know, you wish, you cherish, and you wish that one pole like it. So,
looking back on the Louisiana Derby, just like his other races, he was gaining ground at the end as he was winning, and so that looks good. But do you also, you look at the pace of that race and wish it were more, just so you could know what you were getting coming out of a mile and an eighth?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, I mean, everybody will break it down and try and make a case for a negative, but I wouldn't trade places with anybody, you know, if it all ended today. I'm grateful for what Gervin has given us and know he's a good horse. And, you know, anything from this point forward is a bonus. No, I mean, I don't have any reservations. In fact, I see it as a positive, the fact that he's overcome, you know, sprinting on the lead, no pace, turf. You know, I mean, he's overcome a lot of things, which, you know, though he, what people would consider, you know, inexperienced and only had four starts, he's actually shown a lot of depth in those four starts.
And to that end, I mean, let's look at the positive end. Do you think his style suits this race maybe better than others?
No, that's what I said. I mean, he's got the running style of a good, you know, his overall being is the kind that wins big races. He's not the kind of horse that's going to get lucky and win a big race. He's a good horse. And, you know, to me, honestly, the Kentucky Derby I don't know. It sounds weird. I don't mean it to sound anything but exactly what it is. It doesn't, it has not been my lifelong goal to win the Kentucky Derby. Although, it's not going to be a bad thing. I wasn't a little kid sitting there, couldn't wait to win the Kentucky Derby. In fact, the Breeders' Cup to me has been is the world championship. And, you know, and obviously the Derby's important too, but.
I'll double check. Very good. All right. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Alicia Hughes with Blood Horse Magazine.
Hey, Joe. How's it going this afternoon?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to ask you, what are some of the benefits that you feel that you've gotten so far by bringing him to Keeneland? Have you seen just a change in his demeanor? Do you feel like it's just a more relaxed setting for him?
Well, actually, by coming to Keeneland, it's been a lot more relaxed. And, you know, like you said, you don't even know there's a Derby going on there, which is huge. And, you know, he's just, in my opinion, he's just kind of been able to, you know, just relax and train every day without any interruptions, and just, you know, it's been enjoyable for all of us, and we've, you know, we have Tess Mark across the street, we have all, you know, good vets, we have everything right there at our fingertips and our disposal, and I think that it's just, I think we would be, you know, I think it would be foolish not to take advantage of the ability to have him there.
And I know originally last week you had planned to have Mike come in and get on him for the work. Are you gonna? Is the plan still to have Mike come back in for this Friday to work him there?
Well, I think Mike's probably gonna have some commitments for the weekend. Mike and I talked yesterday on the phone, and you know, like I said, it makes you guys feel better. It makes the owner maybe feel better. It makes it sound better, but he doesn't need to sit on him before the Derby to change the outcome. You know what I mean? Mike can throw his leg over anything out there and you know, get the same out of him whether he's sat on him before or not. So if it doesn't work out to where he can, where he gets to ride him in the Derby, or I mean, gets to work him before the Derby, then we're, you know, we feel just as confident.
And is the plan basically still to stay there at Keeneland for, you know, basically up until you have to be on the ground for Churchill?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like I said, it's a great facility. We're very happy training there, and you know, it's we're going to stay there until they make us move.
All right, Joseph, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And again, that is star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. We'll go next to Dick Downey with the Downey Profile.
Joe, can you be any more specific as to the reasoning that went into canceling the work Monday?
I mean, not any more specific than I've already been. I've just said that instead of trying to squeeze in two what I would consider maintenance work or half-mile work, we've decided to just go with a little more solid work, maybe a little longer distance a week out because, you know, that's just what we felt we needed.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Tom Jaco with South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Yeah, hi, Joe. There's widespread comments in your host, mostly favorable, but the one thing you see often is he needs to pick up about 5-6 lengths to be competitive in the Derby. Do you agree with that? And if so, does he have that kind of a forward move in him?
I mean, I think absolutely he does. I think it's hard to say, you know, exactly what he needs to pick up, considering that, like I said, he's the kind of horse that's never going to win by a lot. You know, he's a competitor, he's a fighter, and he's not going to draw up and win by a lot. It's just not going to be his nature. So I'm not discouraged by, you know, the numbers he's run or anything like that because I know the horse, and I know that, you know, that's just always going to be him. So,
are you one of those trainers who does rely, though, on the figs, whether it be Jerry Brown, whether it be Ragazin, whether it be the Byers, or do you –
I rely on the horse and the horsemanship, honestly, more than anything. Not to be, you know, cliche, but that's just the reality of it. I don't, you know, obviously I read the condition book well and use that to my advantage, but I don't get caught up in the numbers.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, that is star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. And no one else is queuing for questions at this time, so I turn the call back over to Jim Mulvihill. Oh, I do apologize. Jason Frakes with Courier Journal.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for coming on. I was wondering if you might could comment on, you know, postponing a workout or however you want to term it with any other horse, and doing so with a Kentucky Derby hopeful and sort of the speculation and hand-wringing involved in something like that versus any other horse you might do that with?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I don't feel like we postponed the work. We just made a decision to work once instead of twice. You know, and as far as, you know, I've got pretty broad shoulders and I can take it. You know, one thing that nature taught me is just to kind of, you know, you do you and, you know, whatever, you know, they want to speculate, they speculate, but we're confident in our decision and we're doing the right thing by the horse and that's all we can do.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Ed McNamara with Newsday.
Hi, Joe. A few years ago, Rosie was the celebrity and the top rider, and you were the guy in the background, and now you had a tremendous start to your training career, and now you're out there with a Derby horse. You guys ever sit down and say, wow, things really have changed, but they've, you know, turned out really well the past couple of years?
Well, it's funny you ask that because honestly, like when I do stuff like this, she's like, I'm so glad it's you and not me anymore. So she, you know, the same people that interviewed her and now they're interviewing me. She's like, God, I'm so glad it's you and not me. So she's gladly, you know, that's just, but no, I mean, it's, you know, we've always had a good balance when it comes to that. And, you know, it takes, I guess, somewhat of a, it takes a certain personality, I guess, to be able to take a back seat as a husband and as a man. But to me, I was always her biggest fan, and you know, wouldn't have had it any other way. So.
All right. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you.
I turn the call back over to Jim Mulvihill.
All right, Joe, just one last quick one for the benefit of our notes team here at Churchill. We, you know, follow all the daily goings-on for every horse. So can you just give us a quick summary of what Gervin did this morning at Keeneland?
Gervin came and dropped on the training track, and he'll train there again tomorrow. So.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing him both there and here at Churchill. Thanks for your time, and best of luck the next week and a half.
Thank you.
All right. That was Joe Sharp updating us on the goings-on with Gervin. And that brings us to our final guest. We're going to welcome in John Sheriffs, the winner of the 2005 Kentucky Derby with Giacomo, of course, and trainer of perhaps the most popular racehorse of this century, the Great Mare Zenyatta. He'll be on his way to Louisville this weekend with the Santa Anita Derby winner, Gormley. And hopefully we'll also get a chance to ask about plans for the Santa Anita Derby third-place finisher, Royal Moe, who would need two defections to make the Derby field. Let's check in now with John Sheriffs. John, it's Jim Mulvihill, the NTRA. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. We really appreciate your time. Can't wait to learn more about Gormley here. I was reading up on the work on Saturday. It was really interesting what you were saying about the intent of that work. So for the benefit of those that maybe are just looking at the PTs and all they'll see is 6 furlongs and 1:15 and 4, can you just tell us about what you were trying to accomplish with that breeze?
Okay, so the idea was that because he doesn't have a big stride, that he needs to have a kick at the end of the race. So the whole point of that was to get him behind another horse and then not be pulling, because, you know, if they're pulling too much, then they're using a little bit too much energy. So I wanted to be comfortably behind another horse and just be waiting and be patient and listening to the rider and waiting for the rider to ask him. So then that's what we did. And then instead of coming around on the outside, we wanted to come through on the rail, because obviously in the Derby field, you're going to have to split horses somewhere. And hopefully you're going to get close to the rail somewhere, you know, to save a little ground. So that was the whole deal. wasn't so much about having a fast workout or anything like that. It was more about continuing the lessons we've been using with him.
And you were satisfied that he got the point?
Oh yeah, no, he's getting better and better about it all the time. In his race, you saw Victor was able to take him back. You can see because he's quick. He's real quick out of the gate, and he gets himself in gear quickly. So Victor had to take him back. And at first he resisted a little bit, but once Victor insisted upon it, then you could see him settle into the race.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, and more to come on Gormley, but before I open it to the media, I just want to check on your plans with Royal Moe. He's 22 on the leaderboard, so is that close enough for him to get on the plane here Sunday with Gormley?
Boy, you know, it's such an opportunity for a three-year-old. I'll have to make that discussion with Dottie and Mr. Moss.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll wait to hear more on that. Let me step aside, and we'll see what questions the media has for you.
Press star 1 to ask a question at this time. And we'll go first to Ron Slatter with VSIN.
John, looking back, not at the Santa Anita Derby, but the San Felipe, you were talking about Gormley's likelihood of having to split horses in the Derby. Did you see something in his move late to try to, that you say, okay, we learned something from that, or is there a worry from what happened in that race, or how do you look at it?
Well, you know, the San Felipe was an indication of him needing to save his energy and have a kick at the end. You know, very difficult for him to match strides with a big horse that's just motoring on the lead. he's got to save energy and pace himself and then kick at the end. So that was the thing in the San Felipe. It was an opportunity there to take back and make one run. After that race, I told Victor, you know, we've got to do this with this horse for him to get to the next level.
To that extent, then, to the last race, the Santa Anita Derby, with the wide trip, is that something you say, okay, well, we can't get away with that in the Derby?
Well, you know, I always remember what Ron Turk was saying when he rode Secretariat, right? So Secretariat lost a lot of ground around the first turn, and the media was questioning him and his early move on Secretariat. He says, you know, I can't go wide around both turns and win the race. So Whenever I think about the Kentucky Derby, I always think about that quote. And then I remember Mike Smith on Giacomo. Giacomo was going wide into the first turn, and Mike told me after the race, he said, John, I just had to get – I had to save ground. So he was afraid he might clip heels of the horses in front of him. He said, you know, at this point, I just had to take that chance. So I think that's one of the things. You've got to save ground somewhere.
And how do you look at the field? I mean, there's been a lot made of the fact that the final prep times have not been all that stellar. How do you look at this field and that criticism?
Well, I think there are a lot of nice three-year-olds out there, and I think it's going to be an exciting race.
All right. Very good. Thanks, John. Good luck.
Thank you.
Star 1 to ask a question. We'll go next to Danny Brewer with HorseRacing.com.
John, how is everything today?
Everything is very good today. Excellent.
Awesome. Hey, okay, Professor Sheriffs, what has gone into developing this lesson plan for Gormley? Because I know there's different things you've done throughout the past 4 or 5 months to in different methods of training. Is it years of experience, or how did you come up with the lesson plan here?
Well, you know, it's pretty much basic horsemanship. So the idea is somehow to get the horse off the bit. You know, if he's on the bit, then he's too aggressive, you know, and then you're just containing him too much. So the thing is to let a horse get long, long and low, long and low. So you want to get them as long as possible. And the way you do that is with a longer rein. So everything we do normally is to have a longer rein. While he goes to the track, I have him follow the pony, have the pony in front, and have him follow the pony so he'll learn to pace himself off the horse in front of him. At the same time, because he's a little anxious and he wants to get up close, Cisco's got to really work with him and releasing him. Got to release all the time until he can go long, long. And his stride, when I'm talking a lot about long, I'm talking about a horse has several gaits, and if he can learn one thing in one gait, he can learn it in another gait. So first of all, you start walking with a long stride. So that's it, just that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Talk about your ace in the hole, Victor Espinosa, and how he has fit into all of this development of this horse.
Okay, so Victor Espinosa is a real strong guy, very strong rider in the sense that he can hold a horse, and he can hold a horse because he can keep his hands down. So he's lucky he's not too big, so he doesn't get his shoulders too far in front of the horse's withers. And he's able to keep his hands down and not have to move them. Whenever you see a rider have to reach up and take another hold, that horse's head is going to come up and the bit's going to get in the corner of his mouth where it really shouldn't be. So with Victor, he can take one hold and he's strong enough to keep his hands down and not have to move on the horse. So that really helps in the sense of anchoring the horse. And then once you do that, then the idea is to have softer hands, right? So you can just soften your hands a little bit so that horse can get that little half inch and just stretch and relax a little.
I feel like Victor does, he's done an excellent job with Gormley in those aspects.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. It's just, you know, you just have to be patient. The rider has to be very patient and just wait for that horse to release and relax a little bit. They get anxious and say, oh, he's getting a little too strong now, I better grab again. Well, you know, it's over. Forget it. It's not going to happen.
John, I certainly do appreciate your time and everything. Man, I wish you the best of luck, and you're fantastic, Professor. Keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you.
We'll go next to Art Wilson with Los Angeles Daily News.
Hey, John. Going back to your past success at Churchill in 2005 with Giacomo, using that formula, have you changed anything up this year as far as, say, when you're gonna ship Gormley in, or has it been pretty much the same?
No, it's been pretty much the same. We're very fortunate in Southern California. The weather is pretty consistent, and it's usually pretty nice. And this time of the year in the Midwest, the weather is certainly not too predictable, I don't think. So I think we'll just wait and have his last work here at Santa Anita and then get afterwards.
Okay, and any, looking back, any similarities between Giacomo and Gormley at all?
None at all.
None at all? No,
Giacomo was a really kickback horse. I mean, he was so relaxed. Nothing bothered him. He took everything in stride. Royal Mo is more like Giacomo than Gormley.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, best of luck to you, John.
Thank you.
Again, press star one to ask a question. We'll go next to Tom Giga with South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Yeah, hi, John. Four of the last five Derby winners have come out of California, yet for some reason this year's crop seems to be being downgraded by a lot of the analysts and handicappers. Do you think that's fair? And if not, what are they missing?
I don't know, because I listen to the local broadcasters and on television, and they seem to all have the same opinion. So, but I also know that, you know, if you're right, 15% of the time, you're doing great as far as the handicapping is concerned. So I think one thing we all know about the Derby is that odds really don't make a big difference unless there's, you know, a really standout horse like, you know, American Pharoah or somebody really special, a Secretariat or something like that. You know, so I think I don't think odds will determine the winner.
Okay. As long as I have you, let me ask you a little bit out of the box. There's no racing tomorrow because of a horse shortage. As a longtime Southern Cal guy, does that concern you greatly, or you just think it's just one of these things that pops up from time to time?
You know, when Hollywood Park closed, Southern California was really hurt with that, because Hollywood Park provided a training facility for a lot of horses. And that's one of the things that horses need are great training facilities to prepare them for the races. And, you know, Hollywood Park was a very special place in that regard. It was along the coast, so the weather was just perfect all year round. It never got too hot, never got too cold. It was a great place to train. And right now, with the real estate values and everything in California, it's difficult to find a training facility and have it affordable.
Do you think of that? That's it then, that the horses just aren't fit enough to race as often as maybe?
Well, you know, horse racing it's almost like the Army in the sense it takes a big support group to have it continually go, you know what I mean? So I think that California is a little bit separated in the sense there aren't that many training centers around Los Angeles, so it's difficult to get the influx of horses that that you have on the East Coast, where there's a lot of facilities, training centers, and tracks where they can, you know, ship back and forth. So it's hurt a little bit like that.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have no more questions at this time, so I turn the call back over to Jim Mulvihill.
All right. Well, John, just to confirm, you're going to work Saturday and then the flight Sunday morning. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you here at Churchill Downs, and I thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. John Sheriffs with a typically thoughtful discussion about Gormley. We really appreciate John's time. Our thanks once again to all of today's guests, Dale Romans, Joe Sharp, and John. And I also want to thank Joan Lawrence for lining up these calls all spring. Also, Darren Rogers for hooking us up with a spot here in the Churchill Downs Media Center to moderate today's call from. Another reminder, you can always get the audio of this call on NTRA.com, and the transcript will be there too. And if there's anything you need in the course of working on your Derby stories, feel free to ring me. I'll be here at Churchill Downs for the next couple weeks, and Joan Lawrence is always available for you as well. So please don't hesitate to ask. And with that, I'll send it back to our operator, Vicki, to wrap up.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.